Welcome to REACH, the podcast channel for the College of Education and Human Ecology at The Ohio State University. REACH podcasts help us to share the latest education and human sciences research and practices with a focus on diversity, equity, and global engagement. This episode is the first in the series entitled The Method, which is all about qualitative research and is especially useful for graduate students and postdocs interested in hearing insights from top qualitative research scholars. I'm Carlotta Penn, and I'll be hosting the show. The Method is a collaboration between the Office of Equity, Diversity, and Global Engagement and the Qual Lab, and in this inaugural episode, you'll hear from the director of the Qual Lab, Dr. Penny Pasque. She's also Professor of Educational Studies and co-director of the Data Access and Analysis Corps here in the College of Education and Human Ecology. Her scholarship is centered on critical research approaches in higher education. In future episodes of The Method, I'll speak with other researchers, and we hope that this series will highlight the potential of qualitative research to positively impact communities. Recently, a disturbing phenomenon has come to the attention of mainstream America. A white person encounters a person of color, a young black woman in her college dorm, a group of black men talking at a Starbucks, or a pair of Native American youth on a college tour, and calls the police claiming those people don't belong and are, just by being present, suspicious. For example, as Inside Higher Ed reported, two Native teens on a college tour at Colorado State were confronted by campus police in 2018 after a white mother called 911 stating that their presence made her feel sick. She said that their clothes had weird symbolism and that she knew they were lying about belonging on the tour because they kept laughing. The police pulled the youth from the group and asked for ID and proof of their having registered for the tour. The boys showed both, and the officers told them they'd been pulled because others felt they didn't belong since they kept to themselves and didn't share their names when asked. Eventually, the students were permitted to leave, but they had missed the tour. This incident of racial profiling highlights the ongoing racism and conspicuous discrimination Native students in particular experience on college campuses. With this in mind, my conversation today with Dr. Pasque sheds light on some of the critical research that scholars are undertaking with indigenous communities. And central to our discussion was the importance of white scholars being invited into such research by Native scholars, rather than assuming the authority to tell their stories.
As a white member of the Red Dirt research team, I don't necessarily talk about indigenous methodologies in isolation. It is about the team, about the work we've done together. It is important as a white person in colonized land to be attentive to what's going on for me and the power issues that are raised and that I couldn't do this work without the Native scholars on the team that are together, a part of the team.
This is The Method, a podcast on qualitative research in education and human ecology, presented by the Office of Equity, Diversity, and Global Engagement and the Qual Lab at Ohio State University's College of Education and Human Ecology. I'm your host, Carlotta Penn. Today's methods expert is Dr. Penny Pasque, Professor of Educational Studies, co-director of the Data Access and Analysis Corps, and Director of Qualitative Methods in the Office of Research, Innovation, and Collaboration here in the College of Education and Human Ecology. Our conversation focused on Dr. Pasque's work with critical case study and indigenous case study alongside her colleagues on the Red Dirt research team.
I work with three scholars on the Red Dirt research team. It's Researching Educational Diversity, Decolonizing Indigenous Research Team. And we focus on higher education. I work on that with Corey Still, he's Catawba, Monty Begay, Navajo, and Brianna Ferris, who's Arapaho and Cheyenne. So the four of us work together along with Lena Kadar, who is a master's student who was involved in the project for a year and a half before she graduated.
Dr. Pasque emphasized that the Red Dirt research team is a collaborative group, that she felt the absence of her group members in the space of our interview, and especially because she is the only white member of the group,
She wanted to be clear that she was not speaking for Indigenous peoples or researchers, and that she is not the face of Indigenous research.
Paying attention to dynamics and not appropriating is so important, right? In isolation, it's appropriation. And it feels somewhat like that for me as a white person sharing the Red Dirt Research Team. And I also feel like I want to, at the same time, take this platform to point out the great work that the team together has been doing over a number of years, because our hope is to make change on college campuses for students.
So we're going to hear more about that research. But first, here's a little background on how Dr. Pasquay came to this work.
I was someone who was involved in her PhD program thinking I'd go back and work in administration, which was where I came from, higher ed administration. But then I got hooked once I learned that research could make a difference. Research could make social change. It didn't just have to sit on the shelf. And I think that's what spoke to me and why I kind of got sucked in like a dork into research.
And in terms of critical work, she says there's an important difference between a critical question and a critical approach.
So I hear a lot of students asking critical questions from anywhere in the continuum. You can be a positivist and ask a very critical question, post-positivist, anywhere. Ask a critical question about an issue, whether it's about education, about race, about nursing, about early childhood. You can ask a critical question. Critical approaches, which is more of where I come from, actually starts with the premise about interrogating the hegemonic white supremacist patriarchy that is out there and trying to make change actively. So not searching for a quote-unquote objective space as a scholar, but you're owning this place about really making a difference.
So that's the critical part. Case study refers to a focused investigation into one thing, like a person, place, organization, or event. And one school of thought in terms of case study includes the notion to bind the study to a particular place and time, which may render important histories invisible. I want to bring in the voice of Indigenous scholar Margaret Kovach to briefly explain what it means to use Indigenous methodologies.
So for Indigenous methodologies, the thinking or the philosophy, whatever term you want to use, is based and founded and embedded in Indigenous knowledge systems. The methods of Indigenous methodologies then are going to flow and be directed by those knowledge systems. So one of the key things about Indigenous methodologies is that in order to conduct a research project using Indigenous methodologies, you have to have some sort of knowledge, some sort of grounding, some sort of anchoring in Indigenous knowledge systems.
Now, back to the Red Dirt Research Team study.
So in this Red Dirt Research Team, what we did was marry critical case study and Indigenous methodologies and take a look at one institution in the middle of the country, and it has, relatively speaking, a high number of Native students. And we actually took a look at the university approach and what they were purporting about Native students on campus, as well as what students were feeling and experiencing.
It's the caught-on-camera moment that is raising questions about race and privilege on a college campus in the American South. Fraternity Brothers seen on video engaging in a racist chant.
The video is just 9 seconds long. Its consequences could last a lifetime.
In 2015, a video went viral showing a bus full of young white men, members of Greek fraternity Sigma Alpha Epsilon, singing a racist chant that referenced lynching and included racial slurs. They appeared to be having fun, and as you can imagine, outrage ensued. There were protests, the fraternity was shut down, and some students were expelled. That all happened in the national spotlight, but as Dr. Pasquay and her colleagues learned, the local response and history went much deeper.
What we did was we started with a university president. President Bourne at the University of Oklahoma made a statement after there was a student on a bus who was singing, and then the bus joined in, a song about lynching. The song that they sang was at a Greek life-sanctioned event really enculturating the next group of Greek students. So here were the students on the bus singing this song, and it was videotaped, spread all over the country as social media. And so the university and the president, to his credit, was trying to address this right away and to say this is not okay at our university. Sooners are not racist. This is not acceptable. No. And as he did that, what unraveled is, as you know, it's pretty complex when you talk about issues of race.
To add a little bit of context to this, I learned in our conversation about the racist connotations of the term Sooner, which is widely institutionalized in Oklahoma, the Sooner State. I want to quote from an article written by Rance Wiryakwe, a citizen of the Comanche Nation and graduate of University of Oklahoma. And he writes, "Sooners is a term that refers to the settlers who prematurely took part in an event the federal government used to further divest Indians of land, the quote, unassigned lands of Indian territory after the Indian Appropriations Act of 1889. This systemic taking of the land played its part not only in the destruction of tribal cultures, but our economies as well." His article goes on to explain the history behind the racist term and the contemporary implications, both of its uses and the associated institutionalized racism and inequities that American Indian students and Black students face on and off campus.
So it elicited a response from Native students that went, wait, we're glad you said something right away, but this is not it. This is not the right statement. And so there were a number of different university events where students came together and talked about their experiences, where they shared with the president. And so all the different publicly available data we collected, as well as the research team at the time, which also included Lena Kadar. So we would attend different events on campus and write field notes about what was going on. We gathered the historical context, all the data we had, as well as interviewed a number of students individually about their experiences. Then we moved to the As we were analyzing this, what we noticed was coming up was really all these different perspectives about oppression. So Iris Young talks about the five faces of oppression and moves through violence.
Those five categories are exploitation, marginalization, powerlessness, cultural imperialism, and violence.
But as we were finding this analysis, we added auto-narrative because we were having feelings about this. And I think in qualitative research and in a lot of research, that research positionality and researcher reflexivity is important. But for us, it became a step further. We thought about these five faces of oppression in relation to our data as well as our own experiences. And so at this point, the Native people on the research team, I had a conversation and I was like, look, should I be here? I'm a white person. I'm your faculty advisor. There's all these, you know, power and politics that we have to own and pay attention to. So maybe for auto narrative, I shouldn't step in. They had a conversation amongst themselves, Corey, Brianna, and Monty, and said, now, we think we should all be here for this auto-narrative sharing circle and all take part. And so you from a white person's perspective about oppression and us from each of our own. And then we came together. So first, what we
Some of what the Red Dirt Research Team learned in this study are ways Native students experienced oppression on campus, which included marginalization due to lack of funding and resources on campus, exploitation in the uses of Native art and culture, and powerlessness in terms of having a voice. And the team suggests that in order to create change, higher ed administration in particular must work with Indigenous students, scholars, and activists to reimagine existing colonized institutions and intentionally create spaces that empower Native students. For more on this study, the Red Dirt Research Team has a chapter entitled Critical Case Study as an Imperative for Organizational Activism and Institutional Change. That's in Qualitative Inquiry in Higher Education, Organization, and Policy Research, which Dr. Pasque co-edited. If you want to dig more deeply into critical qualitative research, you can check out one of Dr. Pasque's co-authored texts entitled Qualitative Inquiry, for Equity in Higher Education, Methodological Innovations, Implications, and Interventions. Linda Smith's Decolonizing Methodologies, Research and Indigenous Peoples is another essential text, among others which you can find on our podcast website. Before we go, here's some advice from Dr. Pasquay about working with qualitative research methodologies.
I always tell people you have to find the methodology or approach that's right for you. Who are you as a person? And then making sure that that methodology and that paradigm drops down through your methods, your data collection, your data analysis, your findings, who you give your findings to matters, making a difference, making sure communities are receiving the work or politicians and legislators are receiving the work that you're doing. So find something that you love.
Thanks for listening to The Method, a podcast on qualitative research in education and human ecology. I'm the host and producer, Carlotta Penn. Leticia Wiggins is the audio editor and engineer, and Penny Pasquay is the show's consultant. This podcast is a project of the College of Education and Human Ecology at The Ohio State University.